It's like when I talk to trainers and lecturers designing e-learning content, I do suggest if they're going to design like a hybrid type session, design for online first, because people that are there face-to-face will benefit from having that face-to-face environment. But as long as you make sure that the remote or online aspect is covered, and that's the most important thing.
Hey everyone, my name is Matt Lineker and I've got a keen interest in how to utilise technology to enhance learning. This series reflects on how to best utilise technology to solve common learning and development challenges by going behind the scenes with learning and HR professionals all over the world. In this episode of Toto Talks Talent, we're reflecting on how to build an effective onboarding experience. In this episode, we hear about two projects, one with Deloitte UK, who have built an onboarding programme to help support their major programmes initiative. We also hear from Platinum Toto partner Catalyst IT Europe as they walk us through exactly how they onboard their new starters. Interestingly, today's guests have both been through their organization's onboarding processes recently, so we learn firsthand what it's like as an employee to both experience onboarding and then take the steps to improve those onboarding experiences for anyone else taking them. In this episode, we also briefly reflect on how onboarding has changed since the start of the pandemic and shifted from predominantly face-to-face to taking a more blended approach to onboarding new starters. If you'd like to see examples of the platforms that both Deloitte and Catalyst are talking about in today's episode, you can watch demonstrations of their platforms in the Toto community. Click on the show notes in today's episode to see the links. Hi, Harpal. Thanks for joining us today for this episode of Toto Talks Talent. Would you mind letting everyone in the world know where you're coming from and where you work?
Yep. So I'm coming from London, West London. I work for Deloitte UK in a department called Major Programs. And then within that, we've got a subset. So I'm sitting within Major Programs Financial Services. Deloitte is a consulting company. It's one of the big four consultancies, along with PwC, EY, and KPMG. I think we're the best, but everyone has their own opinion. And then sort of within Deloitte, there are different kind of branches. There's like risk advisory, financial advisory, then there's consulting. And then within that, of course, there's other kind of sub-teams. And one of them will be human capital, which within that is Major Programs. So that's the team which I sit in. And Major Programs is kind of all about going out to clients and helping support them on delivering major programs. And like I guess the definition of a major program is something which is highly complicated, uncertain, unpredictable, something which might not have been done before. And those kind of programs exist in loads of different industries, but the one which I'm aligned to is financial services. So it can be kind of big transformation projects, big regulatory projects, quite varied. So within major programs, it's quite a really diverse set of experience and skill sets to kind of help as many of our clients as possible. But I guess, yeah, it's all about complicated, uncertain programs that we're trying to help our clients with.
Thanks. And recently you ran a webinar in the Toto community and we got to learn all about this project. So if people haven't seen that, you go and check it out. But one of the points about these last two episodes we've been talking about in the podcast is about onboarding. And one thing that I really thought about the Major Programs Initiative was sort of an onboarding for new consultants, if that's right, but also a re-onboarding of skill sets for consultants that already exist within the business. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a strange one because Major Programs as a kind of department was only formed, I'd say, I think 3 years ago, around about 3 years ago. And it was actually made up of kind of two ways. It was a kind of restructuring of people who already existed within Deloitte. So from other areas, I think one area was called Program Leadership. So some people came from there. But then also it was kind of a mass external hiring. So I was kind of, I guess, part of that. So I'm one of the new joiners who came in. But you're right, it was a mixture of reskilling people who have come from other departments, as well as making sure that people who join have also got the kind of correct capabilities. So yeah, from that point of view, it's not just purely onboarding new people. It's also re-onboarding or reskilling existing people within Deloitte who are coming into this new department that we made.
How does the Major Programs work? And how do people learn these new skill sets? Is it a blended approach?
So I think that's what, when it comes down to our onboarding experience, right? I think that is the main way which we get people kind of up to speed and at least familiar with some of the concepts. So first step is once you join Major Programs or when people were kind of moving across, we rolled out this Program Aerodynamics training, which is called Certified to Serve, which we use the Totara platform to support us with. And we basically kind of made it a mandate that everybody who is joining has to go through this within a certain time period just to kind of get upskilled and get familiar with what major programs is. So the onboarding journey itself is made up of two things. The first is this online onboarding experience, virtual onboarding experience, where you do a number of modules. And then also to kind of support that, there is a one-day in-person workshop. So those two things in combination is what I guess leads to people being upskilled and familiar with, you know, the values, the ways of working, the expectations of being in major programs. And, you know, for example, myself, when I joined, it was something which I did within the first month, was do the online modules through the platform and then also attend the in-person workshop.
And how did you find taking that blended approach personally? Did you find it effective?
I think it's really effective, to be honest, because in consulting, when you join, it might take you some time to be put on an engagement. So it's good to kind of have something to do before that point. So for me, it could take a couple of weeks, but kind of within the first week, people can signpost you to the platform and say, look, this is the journey. This is how you can almost onboard yourself. And as we covered in the webinar, there's lots of interactive elements. There's videos which talk about people's experience in major programs. There's lots of tools and embedded kind of documents which you can use to read as well and kind of upskill yourself and get familiar. And then once you've kind of got the foundations built, and that's how we kind of market it, is you get your foundations first, then you go in person, you do the workshop, and you get to kind of collaborate with everybody in a room, and you get to apply everything that you've learned from, you know, the hours you've put in online in that kind of classroom environment. And, you know, we try to, the in-person element definitely kind of works in collaboration with the e-learnings that we've got. And yeah, it's more about collaboration, applying your learnings, kind of having a bit of a fun experience. And then again, when you finish the one-day in-person workshop, there are some post-workshop modules that you have to do again back on the platform. So that kind of reinforces your learnings. And in the webinar as well, we mentioned that there are kind of action plans which you can set up through the platform. So that, again, make sure that you're kind of cementing what you've learned, and you've got regular touch points and reminders to make sure that, you know, you're confident in what you've learned throughout the whole kind of onboarding journey.
Yeah, and one thing we've been talking about in these last couple of episodes is really how the pandemic might have changed the way that people think about digital learning, and especially onboarding or reskilling. I don't know, before the pandemic, if you think things might have been done differently, if there would have been more in-person workshops and there would have been less digital training available.
Yeah, I think before I joined Deloitte, I worked somewhere else on a graduate scheme at a bank. And for that, it was very traditional. You kind of have your onboarding in person over a few days. But with this, because I kind of work in the Certified to Serve team where we roll out the platform, one of the main requirements at the beginning was it had to have an online element. It had to be able to kind of cater to everybody's needs, because it was rolled out and the Department of Major Programs was actually formed during COVID as well. So that was like 100% one of the requirements that we've had. But also since then, what it's helped us with also is kind of having overseas expansions. So again, in the webinar, we mentioned that people from around the world are now kind of getting involved in this program aerodynamics framework and this major programs model. And the fact that it's all done through an e-learning platform online means that people can kind of do this from anywhere, whether that's Denmark, Norway, Middle East, United States. So again, that's really helped us by having it online. If it was just a workshop only approach, then it would have been really tricky to kind of roll this out at pace on a mass volume. So again, yeah, online is what you need right now for online, like a onboarding journey.
And if you're going to give any tips to anyone who's just about to try and start off their own onboarding process or reskilling program, is there anything that you would take away from your experience of both doing the program but also being involved in it?
There's two angles to it, because I went through the journey myself as a new joiner, but then kind of within 6 months, I kind of joined the team as well, making sure that other people were going through the journey as well. And that's how I'm here today as well. So I think from a user point of view, you want to make sure it's interactive. It's kind of concise and it's not boring. I think that's the main thing. So for us, we've got lots of different, you know, interactive elements in there. There are places where you can write your own answers in. There are like interactive sliders you can use. There's text, but there's also kind of voice notes, voice recordings in there, and lots of videos. So you're not really ever getting too bored with going through this journey. If it was just lots of text or just slides, I think it would get boring quite quickly. So we've tried to make it as interesting as possible. we also try to make it relatable as well. So we've got kind of speakers who sit within our team who are giving their own experiences, kind of sharing the challenges that they've had and kind of the tips and guidance that they'd give to you as you're kind of going through the onboarding process. And then from like the back end, so as a someone who's trying to roll this out, I'd say try to use as much like automation or like use data as well as much as you can, because that's really useful. So some of the things that kind of save us time on the back end is the fact that people can book onto workshops themselves, they can amend bookings themselves, they get reminders sent to them themselves as well. And again, a lot of the stuff we mentioned already on like the follow-up actions, that's all done automated through the platform. If it was just us having to do that ourselves, it would take ages to do. And then the data as well, we use data all the time, and we get loads of really insightful data from this onboarding journey, in terms of understanding people's baseline capabilities, what kind of options they're selecting as they kind of pass through the training, and then again, their capabilities at the end. So we can kind of do a nice before and after snapshot comparison, which again helps us to really understand our workforce and how people are going to kind of suit what our clients need. And also the data point of view, it helps us, you know, ask people, how are you finding the training? Is the pace okay? Is there anything you want to change? And again, that helps us from the back end improve it for next time and make sure that it keeps on being a good onboarding experience.
That's great. Thanks so much, Harpal. I think that's great. That's a really interesting overview of what we're doing at Major Programs, and I hope that you continue to see success in the next few weeks and years. Is there any plans for it to be changed at all, or is it just continuing as normal for now?
So we do, as I said, through the data that we ask, you know, the feedback surveys, we do get some good feedback. That Major Programs, as a kind of like a department, is going through rebranding anyway. So for us, it's about updating the content and making sure that that's good and still kind of interesting. So I think it was last week before we did a review exercise, some people in our team, just to literally go through the journey ourselves again and just make sure that all of the videos that we have on there, all of the media that we've got on there is up to date, and it talks about kind of current client problems and scenarios rather than stuff from 2 or 3 years ago. So that's what we're doing at the moment. And then also we're trying to make it not just UK focused, because as I mentioned, we're trying to kind of push it more worldwide. A lot of the partner firms around the world are getting quite interested in Major Programs, the model that we have and the framework itself. So we're trying to make it more global focused and not just focusing on UK problems and UK clients. So we are making changes. I think I said in the webinar before that it's like a really exciting time for us. We've kind of gained a lot of interest internationally. So we're trying to just kind of push this as far as we can and get as many people through this journey and aware of program dynamics and certified to serve as possible.
Well, great. Thanks so much, Harpal. It's been great to talk to you today, and we look forward to seeing more about Major Programs in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hello and welcome to this episode where we're talking about onboarding with impact. Today I'm joined by Sam and Anna from Catalyst, and we'll just have a little introduction to Sam and Anna. So both do quite interesting roles. Sam, would you mind introducing yourself and let us know what you do at Catalyst? And also, if you wouldn't mind, what does Catalyst do as well?
Hiya, yep. So I'm Sam Taylor. I'm the Senior E-Learning Consultant at Catalyst IT Europe. I'm also the Practice Lead for Pedagogy and Community. So I am ensuring that e-learning standards are upheld and supporting our clients with how to get the best out of their platforms. I also support our internal services team on the use of Totara to help with HR issues such as onboarding, maintaining CPD, information security, and I'm the site administrator for our platform.
Brilliant, thanks. And Anna, would you mind just saying hello and introducing yourself?
Hello. So mine's going to be a lot briefer than Sam's. I have only been with Catalyst for about 8 weeks, so I've been going through the onboarding process, but I work in the team as an e-learning consultant and support Sam with learning development and supporting our clients in the future.
Brilliant. Thanks, both. So just in this episode, we're going to be talking about how you're using Totara internally to onboard new starters. But before we look at that, a question that I'm asking everyone on this episode is, can you remember being onboarded at a different organization and when you first started and some of the feelings that you had when you start at a new organization? Anna, I wonder what you feel like. As you said, you started recently at Catalyst. How did it feel to be a new starter?
I've done it from multiple different angles, really. I used to do onboarding for my own team where I worked previously. I've also been onboarded through different types of roles outside of here as well. it's been a mixed success, I suppose. Sometimes you've got the tools and the resources to do that in a really clean way, and other times it can feel quite disjointed. And I think it's shifted massively, particularly when people started to work from home more, and the approach where I wasn't able to sit with people and go through things and have that sort of face-to-face connection. So there was more reliance on systems like Totra that we're using here to understand the wider sort of induction picture that was trying to get put across.
Sam, would you mind explaining a little bit about the internal onboarding project at Catalyst and what staff do when they first start Catalyst and some of the things that they have to go through, or what you would expect people to learn as a new starter at Catalyst?
Yeah, so when we onboard new starters, so it doesn't matter which role they're in, whether they're in a technical role, so our developers or our cloud engineers, or maybe the other side, so consultants like myself or any of the administrators, everybody has the same basic induction. Everybody gets assigned a buddy as well to help them through their induction. And using our Totra TXP site, we have a lot of induction activities arranged and automated. So when a new person joins Catalyst, they are assigned the new starter induction audience, and they're automatically given their competencies. They're automatically enrolled onto their onboarding courses. They're all automatically given their check-in dates have been automated through Totra Perform. And they have these series of activities they need to work through. So we have a program of learning which covers the basics of information security. So being a hosting company, we deal with a lot of client data. So it's really important that we understand things such as information security, GDPR, asset management, so all those sorts of courses as well. And then other things such as how we use our internal systems as well, so just basic how-tos, how to use our work request system and all those other things as well. So these are sort of some of the things that we have in place. We have regular meetings with our teams. They're all scheduled through Totra so that any new starter, they know what they're doing next. It's all planned out for them and it's consistent every single time. Those that have a more technical background, they are also allocated a separate program. So if they're a developer or a systems engineer, they have a separate additional series of onboarding activities that they need to do, which gives them an opportunity to see what the role is going to grow into. But also they have regular check-ins with their team and their line manager as well, just to mark their progress. And everything is documented as well in Totra as well, so that our HR colleagues can monitor and make sure everybody is meeting with their managers, everyone's meeting with their team, and their progress is steadily moving along in the way that we hope it would.
Sam, just thinking a little bit about the tools or the features that you use of Totra, are there any features that stand out that you like find you have to use, for example, audiences, or what are some of the main features that you would use to ensure the success of your onboarding program?
I think there are very few features in the Totra TXP platform that we aren't using, actually. And like, for example, we do use the organisation and positional frameworks. The competency frameworks are so, so powerful because it gives every new starter a very clear list of what it is that they need to work towards. So everybody comes in at the base level, and through regular checkups and through their progress, through onboarding and throughout the rest of their career at Catalyst as well, because these competencies, they don't really change, just your levels and proficiency levels that change. They are part of the conversation each time. So having that relationship between the organizations and positions and using them to assign the competencies through the Totra Perform, that is a really, really big tool and a big positive activity that we do. There's also, with the, like you said about the audiences, we use audiences heavily in our platform because we use that to assign the learning. We use it for our reporting. We do it with our individual teams, so line managers can see how their teams are doing. We use audiences as well to deploy courses that have been created quickly. So say, for example, legislation has changed with GDPR and we have to get a new or incident management or a new process has been updated. We need to get that information out and we need to make sure that we can keep on track on who's done it, who hasn't. So audiences are very, very important. We also use featured links on our dashboard, which are also targeted at audiences. So new starters can see tiles that are, you know, more, I don't say mature, our regular, what's the term? I don't know. The ones that aren't new starters, they get to see. So
old starters,
existing. So we use audiences a lot to hide stuff and reveal stuff. So our dashboards are constantly like changing depending on who you are, who's looking at them. And we have another dashboard as well for our HR team to monitor all our new starters and their progress. So all the reports that come from like the programs, certifications. And we have another dashboard for our compliance officer who, she can see all of our new starters, who's behind on their information security training, because, we're very, very careful about giving our new starters access to things like our password vault if they haven't done their InfoSec training, especially the ones on password security, because, we are trusted to look after the sites and data of so many people and their students. So it's not just a client's data, but our clients, customers and learners' data. So it's really, really important that everybody who needs to have access to how people are doing and whether or not they're competent to be able to give them the keys to our password vault, we can see it at all the levels that need to be seen. The other tools we use, again, so I've mentioned it briefly, in Total Perform, it's the check-ins. So everybody has a monthly check-in with their line manager, but we have additional activities for our new starters that trigger a six-month review to discuss how they got on and to decide whether or not they've passed their probation or they need to do another couple of months. So these are all built into Totara, and the beauty of it is it's just all automated on the person's start date. So our HR team don't have to think, oh, I need to email Anna a reminder to do a catch-up. No, Totara's already messaged Anna, messaged our line manager, a message HR to say that this needs to happen. Can it be booked in, please? And the form is consistent because it's the same questions every time, regardless if you're a developer, administrator, finance officer. It doesn't matter what your role is. The form is consistent. And the way that the forms are built, you can pull in your competencies and your goals. And it's a really, really good way of just pulling everything together. And you have a good, consistent record time and time again.
But I suppose, Anna, you're in quite an interesting position, really, because you're going to be working on this project. But I assume you've also been through the onboarding process yourself. And I wonder, as a starting point, how did that onboarding process at Catalyst feel for you?
I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. And until I joined Catalyst, I hadn't worked very closely with Totara. I didn't know what I was going to come to. But it was impressive, I think, is the best word. So I came from a really large company before, and I was making quite a shift in the type of industry I was working in. And so my expectations were, I think I was just unsure of what to expect. But on my first day, bear in mind that my initial induction was done remotely. So I had to really trust the systems that were given and what was in place. It was really logical. I logged in, had the support to how to do that, had all that initial sort of start of my day. I logged in and it was all there. And bear in mind that I hadn't used the system before, the setup and the tools that had been chosen and how they were put together. And that logic took what were amazing tools and resources and turned them into something that was a really supportive process to work through. And it could be really challenging. And I think the art is taking those resources and using them in the right way and at the right time. So it wasn't overwhelming because of the way that it had been put together. It seemed like quite a nice slow burn, and it built, and then more things were opening up to me and I was getting access to a different variety of things, and I was being introduced to aspects and information as and when it was relevant to the work I was doing. And it took what was something that was quite scary, that initial like being the new person in a different company, and actually made me feel really engaged and close to what was happening because of the stylization, everything that had been put around just the functionality that was in place. It was much bigger than that. If it's used really well and people integrate this into their day-to-day business practice, not just right at that induction phase, it's being used longer than that. So I've the bits that I've been utilizing and moving through as part of my induction have actually connected really well to the aspects of my job that are beyond that. So I've developed confidence and started using the system in a different kind of way because my induction made that something that I was expecting. Unused example, things like workspaces. I started and I was introduced to resources and to different workspaces that were useful for me in my induction. And that has continued beyond that. So as I've been here longer, things are being opened up to me that will continue to be supportive at the point in my journey I'm at. And I think that will just continue to grow. And that is down to partly to design, partly to system. And I think those two, when used well together, have a really strong potential to support new people, new starters.
Great. Thanks so much, Hannah. And just thinking about that buddy system that Sam mentioned, how's that worked for you?
It's been really good. And it was, so when I started, I had a buddy that does a very different role to me. And that has been surprisingly smooth because it wasn't around just this is the ins and outs of your role. It was much bigger than that, the where you fit in the business and understand the different relationships and the different teams. And that was all supported through right from the beginning, through this induction process. So I've now feel like I've built some really good relationships as part of that. And the buddy and her ability to check in and see how I'm doing and look at what I'm up to. And she, I've met with and she's chatted through and just gone, oh, have you looked at this? Have you seen this part? Or, oh yes, you've done, I can see that you've done this aspect. Here's a little bit of extra information that's good to know. So I think it gives everyone else an idea of what you're up to, how well you're doing, how or what support can be offered in addition if there is a need for it. But yeah, the buddy's been a bonus.
Great. Thanks, Anna. And Sam and Anna, I suppose one of the unique positions as well that you're in is that not only are you in onboarding in yourselves and internally, but you're also reaching out to, you know, customers, you're working with customers all over the world. And I wonder, since the COVID-19 pandemic, do you think that the way organizations are thinking about onboarding and the tools they use has changed slightly? Is the people need something different? And I wonder if you could summarize what you're seeing in the world, really.
It's interesting you should say that because we started using our Totara during the lockdown, and it was in response to the need of helping all staff, so not just our new starters, but helping all staff stay connected, kind of having a like consistent, regular catch up with their team lead, like one to one, because you no longer had the, you know, oh, can I just quickly catch up with you? Or can we just talk about something quickly? I mean, obviously, at Catalyst, we say that everyone's virtual door is open. You know, I can go directly to the director and just, you know, talk to him. He'll never say, no, I don't want to speak to you right now. You know, every person is very open for a conversation with anybody. But it was just having something that was regular, was documented, because it was a way of just ensuring that everybody was still being seen and they still had, you know, a chance to just sit down and talk to people. So when we started doing that, and also onboarding new people as well, we thought, well, okay, well, this is working. It's helping all our new starters, because we started recruiting people outside of our location, our head office in Brighton. So we needed to think about our onboarding and, okay, it has to be designed for remote first. So even when we are recruiting new people who are actually based in Brighton and will be office-based, it's still done through Totara. It is still done remote first. They just have the extra bonus of being able to chat to people in the office. So, you know, what I would say to people considering, you know, looking at building, onboarding, using Totara and all these things, it is brilliant for those who are remote, people who work hybrid, people who are in the office. It doesn't matter. It's like when I talk to trainers and lecturers designing e-learning content, you know, I do suggest if they're going to design like a hybrid or type session, design for online first, because people that are there face to face will benefit from having, you know, that face to face environment. But it's as long as you make sure that the remote or online aspect is covered, and that's the most important thing.
And Anna, I wonder what you're seeing as well. And obviously, and maybe if you'd even explain the background that you come from and the last job that you did. And I wonder what you thought it was like there and how you'd imagine things are changing for NGOs or charity organisations as well.
Yeah, so the company I was in previously was a really large charity. And although things were very much automated, it didn't feel particularly personal. So it didn't... Firstly, there weren't the systems in there. There were a combination of about six different systems people had to get used to for different aspects of their induction, their training. Everyone's induction was very different, depending on the remit or the aspect of the business they worked within. There wasn't that consistency and continuity, I think, as people were moving through. And I think particularly with charities in general, there's obviously much more focus on the cost of induction. And there's so much potential for systems like this to reduce the cost of induction by allowing people to be more flexible in how they use tools, be able to be quite reflective in how they use, revisiting content, being able to redirect people back to things if they have found that they've struggled with it. So it gives a much more structured support from start to finish and on beyond that. Because I think when we're talking about onboarding, it sounds very short-lived, but actually that onboarding is a small phase of a much bigger PDP type approach to managing your team. So I think if you start and then can continue to use a similar sort of system and process and approach and that continuity of management, it's really beneficial. And it lets people know where they are. But yeah, in general, I think it's got so much potential if people want to look at the cost of delivery, the cost of overall induction and recruitment, and that ongoing support that can be offered. Systems like this can really make that much easier. And I mentioned that I work remotely. I absolutely do. So I work from home. And I have done part of my induction actually in the office. And as Sam mentioned, that was seamless because I could pick it up. I arrived in the office and I sat down next to my buddy and said, I'm working my way through this. Is there anything else? It mentions this person's name. Can you introduce me to them? So I was able to integrate that in quite smoothly and almost mark up areas I wanted to revisit. And I think that sort of that hybrid in design and systems and face-to-face that Sam was explaining makes it a much more powerful process rather than just a functional process of onboarding. It makes it much wider than that.
I was going to say, just to jump in there, so Anna mentioned about, you know, the onboarding using Totara isn't just used at the start. You know, we use Totara continually in our day. We use it to arrange our weekly tech talks where the technical teams share their ideas and show what they've been working on. We use Totara for people signing up for social events like, you know, the occasional quizzes that we do or the online yoga sessions, you know. So through onboarding, they're learning how the platform works. They're learning how to use it in their daily day-to-day work. But we use it all the time. We use it to share resources. We use it to share recordings of our directors giving us company updates. We use it for the programs of learning, the certification that gets redone every year. We do an annual exam as well through our Totara for information security for our ISO audits. So it's okay. Onboarding, they use TXP a lot within the first 6 weeks, but we use it continually. You know, every week everybody will be logging in at least once or twice just because it has all the information and tools that we need just to continue our professional development and to keep in touch and to keep the community, the internal Catalyst community going.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Sam and I, for talking to us today about your onboarding approach. And I think one of the things that's really highlighted there is it's not just the tool, but also the design of that tool and how you're using it. And then thinking through, you know, the feelings as well, creating that psychological safety, the buddy system for new starters to really thrive as they start a new organization.
You've been listening to Totara Talks Talent, a series which goes behind the scenes with learning and development and HR professionals to understand how they use technology to meet meaningful outcomes for their people and organisations. Totara creates talent development software to create lasting employee success. You can learn more at totara.com or join our community of learning professionals at totara.community to share ideas and collaborate. Thanks for listening.